Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Welcome. This is a Friday edition of Warn Radio, the WIBR Warn Radio Network. And today we are talking about the seven churches in Revelation. I'm the Watchman Dana Smith. Sound the shofar, like our other shows, are in-depth biblical studies. And, for instance, our Wednesday is an advocacy for the persecuted church. We're not call-in shows. We move swiftly. We don't take time out for calls. You need to call us for any correspondence or inquiries. Go to the WIBR Warn Radio Network on warn-usa.com. Contact us through the contact page. That's what people do. We do have some people contacting us, of course, through all of our social media, but we do not get into any in-depth conversations, per se, on social media. They are the worst place for discussing things. So, if you're interested, Facebook, let's see, Twitter, we're on, you can find us, WatchmanIS216. Instagram and Twitter, it's Warn Radio, one word. On LinkedIn, it's Watchman. We're also on MeWe and USA.life, which is the newest member, both that and MeWe. Very secure, at least secure, a lot better than Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can hear us on a lot of different things. We've added, we're working on adding four new networks, and we've got two of them okayed, which is Podcast Addict. And let me see if I can find this other one here. CastBox is the other one, and we're also waiting for Deezer and Google Podcasts. So we're on a number of those, and as well as Blog Talk, Blueberry, and many, many others. In short, if you've got an Android or an iPhone anywhere in the world, you can listen to the show through those apps. And that's what our focus has been for some time, focusing on the smartphones and the smaller devices. I mean, we have people literally from around the world that contact us that listen. And that's really important because it enables us to contact with people that need to hear the word, that need some of the resources. And so, at any rate, we're glad you joined us. And we were talking, the warrior and I, before we began the show. I began the show. He used to work with us for quite some time. But everybody has to move on. We were talking about someone that him and I interviewed, Greg Rinchick, which is known as the Colonel. And he was on Edge AM quite a bit, interviewed and a lot of other things. But, you know, some of the stuff he was talking about, you know, we can, you know, trace and we think about in some of the events we're seeing even right now. So it's interesting how these things come around. We interviewed him long time ago. And so at any rate, I don't know if we still have any of his interviews up or not. Probably not, because on Warn Radio, because of a lot of different reasons, I mean, I have everything we've ever done. I do have a vast storage place that's off this continent that we keep stuff on. But needless to say, we only keep about 5 years now is what we do. And we move on. So if you want to listen to a show, the teachings, we redo the teachings about every year or 2 years. So they're always fresh and up to date. And so we're always moving on. The websites are still there. A lot of interesting articles. Check them all out. Warren-USA.com, DanaGlennSmith.com. Time goes by so fast. It's hard to believe we've been doing this for over 2 decades. But that's the way it is. The first time Tower and I talked about what was coming was back in 73, thereabouts. And so it's been a long trek dealing with some of the issues that we've talked about. Now, last week, let me get up here. We were talking with Ephesus. The Lord said, I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love. And so we talked about that in the Nicolaitans. And today we are looking at Smyrna to begin with. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, right? These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Four little verses. Very, very important four little verses. And of course, as I said before, when we're dealing with the seven letters, the letters to the seven churches, these follow right after the introduction, pretty much. So it is evident that the first agenda is to establish the fact that he is Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, he which was dead and is alive. And of course, if you get back into the first chapter of Revelation, and I'll do that in a minute, what we find here is that he is the one in charge of the church. He is, and he's establishing authority, and the church is told, you know, these things. And it's interesting when we look at the prophetic part of it, we look at the interpretation and a lot of this stuff. People have over the years and the centuries seen this as seven different types of Christians. I think there's a lot more than seven. There's really basically just one Christian, one believer, and that's the one who has received him, John 1, who has been born again of the Spirit in John chapter 3, and who walks in the light as he is in the light, John 1 John chapter 1. And of course, then there's the confession part that you can find in Romans 3 through 7 or 3 through 8. So at any rate, you know, we try to break a lot of them down sometimes with a lot of this. But there is a lot of truth to the different types. And it also, you can see a point where one particular church might fit a particular age. For instance, in the age we live in, the Laodicean church best describes us. But also, Smyrna Church here also has a very, very important role to play in our day and age. And you know, the thing of it is, I find it so interesting when we look at this stuff and all the things. You know, John on verse 9, he was in the Isle of Patmos. And he calls himself a fellow partner in tribulation. This is the Young's literal translation. He was in the isle because Patmos, because of the word of God and because of the testimony of Christ. And we literally see that today. People are having problems today. The same kind of problems. for the Word of God and because of their testimony of Jesus Christ. More so today than we have had. And I think it's so... Now, this is what he says in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Now, see, John falls down at his feet, and he says, "And when I saw him, I did fall at his feet as dead, and he placed his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Be not afraid, I am the first and the last.'" Now, this is the part, "And he who is living, and I did become dead, and lo, I am living to the age of ages, amen, and I have the keys of Hades and of the death." Now, this is the literal translation from the Hebrew or from the Greek. Young's literal translation. The King James does say it a little bit different. But I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. And it, you know, I like this. And I like the fact that in the first of the book, he introduces who he is. And see, here we find him. He says, "The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks are the seven churches." And it's really interesting to know this. And when we look, for instance, if you remember Daniel, when he fasted, and he was fasting, and the angel finally showed up, and there was the prince of Persia who had opposed him. And he was going to go there, this particular angel was, but the prince of Persia hindered him, so he had to get some help, probably from an archangel, of course. But at any rate, when we look at all of this, we see that indeed God does place angels. Many people think that when we talk about the angel of the church in Smyrna, we see it as the angel, as the pastor. The pastor is not the angel. The pastor is the pastor. He's the one that preaches the word of God. But the church of Smyrna. Now, see, it's a little different today when you look at all the church and church denominations. Back in the beginning, when the church was growing, you had the believers in Smyrna. You had the believers. You know, even when Paul went to Rome, there were believers in Rome. There wasn't many churches in Rome. There were the believers in Rome. And they might be meeting in different houses, but they were still the believers in Rome. They were all together. They were one. Today, we have believers in where we live here, but we have so many denominations and so many different churches, it would try you trying to remember them all. The bottom line that we have in modern society, we've been broken up into little groups. We don't see ourselves really as the true body of Christ, the universal, for instance. A lot of times we're so caught up in our own little denominations and our own little thing. I know Christians that, Christianity rises and falls with their church and their pastor, which is fine in some respect, but there is an overall thing to understand that this is greater and bigger than any local church. We are part of the greater body. And this particular letter is sent unto the angel of Smyrna, and this is the angel, the one that's given the territory to watch over this, and the believers there. And the scripture does tell us that the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and delivereth them. And, that's important. You know, that's an Old Testament scripture. That's truth. And so, Israel, wherever they went, there was the presence of the Lord. There was presence of an angel. Even when they did evil, they knew it. So, today we are in the new covenant through Christ, but there are things today that we can still know. The Lord lets us know. And by the fact that, number one, in the first chapter, we find him introducing himself as this, and this is the first and the last. He which was dead is alive. He is the first fruits. And he's addressing the churches. These are the offspring. These are the sheaves of wheat. These are the ones to whom he is watching over. And one of the reasons he brings this stuff up is he wants them to know these things. He also wants them to know that he's there. He's not forsaken them. And as we go through these, you're going to find about some of them that are, in fact, to the point of being dead. Now, see, these, Smyrna is a live church. He says, I know your works, your tribulation and poverty, but that you are rich. Now, see, works, tribulation and poverty. Now, see, understand, you know, one time a week, we do the advocacy for the persecuted church. We try to get it out by Wednesday night by 6:30, 6:30, 7 o'clock. It's usually posted on all of our networks. And we talk about this, a lot of the persecution of Christians. For instance, if you get in India, Christians are the lowest caste there is, and they're poor. They face intense tribulation. They get beaten up. They can't meet in homes. They have problems meeting in homes if the Hindus find out. We report on it all the time, especially since the BJP, that's the Hindu party, came into power. The Christian leaders warned that persecution would come, and it has. And India is one of the ones. I think they're 10th on the persecution list. But nonetheless, you know, it's there all the time. And these people are poor, but yet they have a light for Christ, even doing some of the menial, dirtiest tasks in India, which includes cleaning up the poop from the Hindus and a lot of the stuff they're doing. Now, that may seem gross to you, and it is gross. But see, the thing of it is, it's something that has to be done. We do it through our various sanitation places here in our modern society. But one of the worst things there is when you come to an area that is poor and has been hit by an earthquake or a tornado or something, and that is the fact that where's the water? Is there anything for them to drink that gets polluted? The second thing of it is urine and feces in the street, which creates diseases. This is a very, very terrible thing to happen, and kids have been seen in a lot of these circumstances. When you have Samaritan's Purse or something go in, they see these kids playing in the water that's full of feces, and you know, it's terrible. But see, this is when we talk about, I know your works, tribulation and poverty. See, in our poverty, you know, there's a lot of poverty stricken, including in Pakistan as well. You get over in Algiers, and you get in a lot of these places where Christians are. You get up in North Korea, North Korea, they've got to keep, you know, their faith even from their own children, because even in your own family is where you find your enemy. And this is what happens. So the Lord is saying, but you're rich, even though in the eyes of the world, you're poor, you're rich. Why? Because they have Christ. And he says, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And so the fact that he brings up Jews here would illustrate a couple of things, especially with the New Testament church in the early times during the apostles. The Jews, there was a great variety of them. There was Jews that would follow the apostles and persecute the early church. And this is one of the reasons that later on the church, during the time of Constantine and some of the church, various church meetings, when they gathered together to talk about doctrine, they broke away from the Jewish feasts and what all the Jews were doing in the original teachings given by the apostles, and they adapted their own. They believed in Yahshua, of course, in the Greek as he Jesus, but they had a separate faith, and they broke away for one reason, because of the persecution of the believers by the Jews who had political influence and stuff like that. Now, you can deny it, but that's exactly what happened. Even Paul says in Romans, I think it is 13, either chapter 11 or 13, that the Jews are enemies for the gospel's sake. And the gospel's going forth, and the Gentiles embraced it and the Jews rejected it. And of course, out of jealousy that they claimed to have the same God and they claimed to have a Jewish savior. Well, guess what? The apostles were Jews, and they quoted the prophets who were Jewish, and they talked about Israel and Judah, which of course was Jewish, which was belonged to the state of Israel. And so there was problems in there. And there was another line that there were those who actually believed Yahshua when he was here, and they were Jews. But they didn't think he went far enough, so they required the new Gentiles to be circumcised and follow some of the things that the Jews did, which was totally wrong. They didn't have to. Paul addressed that. And it didn't mean that they were open to just do whatever they wanted to, but they didn't have to, per se, keep the law. So this was what was following and some of the problems. And there were also Jews that were true born-again Christians that kept, you know, the word and walked in it according to the New Testament, faith and testimony of Christ. There was a lot of problems going on there. And over the centuries, of course, the Jews have always, the Jews and Christians have had trouble. But now in verse 10, it says, "Fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." Now, of course, he's not going to personally throw them in prison. He's got a minion to do that. The minion are human. He uses human vessels. He uses human nations. He has his angels that are posted. These are territorial angels. These are the ones that are over a certain area, just like the Persia angel was over Persia, which is today would be Iran. And of course, it extends a little beyond where Iran is. But it's also where Cyrus was from, which the Jews know that God called him his anointed, because when he came, he defeated Babylon. And we're talking about that in Isaiah, matter of fact, which we do on Wednesday night. And, you know, this is very important. All these things work together. And so the devil has this minion who gives here to those who are over him, who listens to those in charge in the government. And the government, of course, whether they realize it or not, is ruled by principalities and powers. And that's the way it is on earth, whether you like it or not. Every nation on earth is ruled by a principality and power. And the thing of it is that you have a choice of who you're going to serve. Now, in America, the principality and power pretty much got negated, the evil one. There was still evil here, but it wasn't able to turn America into what they wanted to. So America's been a target of the devil since this thing was incorporated, you know, created. And so when you have the righteous rule, the darkness cannot rule. The son of lawlessness, who is the son of perdition or the beast, he's not going to come into power until the lawlessness is at a level that will bring him in. He can only come in by lawlessness. Lawlessness begets lawlessness. And if you suddenly have a huge revival and everybody stops their lawlessness and serves the Lord our God through his son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, then what you're going to find out is that this lawlessness is going to be stalemated and it's going to stop. And he'll begin working on the next generation to do what he tried to do with the previous one. Well, see, we also see rulers when they come in give ear to this lawlessness as well. And that's really where the enemy steps in at. We can see it exactly in our own electoral system. We can see it in who gets elected. You know, when Obama came in, he had a lot of lawless things that he did. They were abomination, you know. Within all of this, Trump comes in, he was totally the opposite. And of course, the people elected him and not the liberal news media who fawned over Obama hated Trump because he was totally the opposite. And so this is the battle within America. There are those that fundamentally do not want what Obama represented, and he had a lot of followers who did. But see, this is the struggle in America, and behind that are territorial spirits and demons in high places, very, very high, powerful entities that are dark, and they have a whole army who works to destroy and to do the will of Satan. And on the other hand, you have the others who are good angels who belong to the Lord our God, who follows his word. His word is in their heart, and they have the archangels and others over them, and they are warrior angels. They're here to work on the side of the Lord. So this is the territorial. So when they were thrown in here, he mentions them, that they were Jews. So this letter in Smyrna, we could rightfully assume and believe here that there were Jews that were Christians that were in here being assailed by other Jews because of what they had done. And so some of them come in and say they are Jews, and they're not Jews. So there's a lot of lying here we see within this. But see, this church was able to discern between a lot of that, because the Lord doesn't mention it. He says, "I know your works, tribulation and poverty." And one of the chief ones he mentions, the blasphemy of the Jews, which would absolutely be denying the Messiah, because at the time when the Messiah was and did go into the tomb, they were working on a full excuse, because they warned the Roman authorities that the apostles would steal the body and go hide it and say that he rose from the dead. So they made excuses. And there's even books today, pamphlets and things from that era that passed through that has surfaced, that denies the entire gospel and everything else. Well, who were they written with? I'll tell you who they were written by. They were written by Jews who were there, who opposed him because they were of their father, the devil, more than likely. No Gentile would worry about it. The Roman authorities wouldn't care about it, but the Jews would, because this was personal. It was Jewish apostles and it was a Jewish savior, and they didn't like that. So this is a lot of the stuff. Even today we're facing this stuff. So here in verse 10, "Fear none of those things which you will suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison." And so the number one thing, the Lord said, in the world you will have tribulation. And that's what the world is going to do to those who love Christ. So when you get it in fairly atheistic society like China or North Korea, you're going to be persecuted. Now, see, in America, we're getting more anti-God, anti-Christ, atheistic. We're following other gods. We believe any way is okay. There's no such thing as law. We are in the time of the mystery of iniquity right now, which means every level that God has set down, whether they're in the sciences or morality or anything else that he has laid down, man, through knowledge and technology and his rebellion, will break. And so they will work to do that. They will pass their own laws. They will do things totally annihilating anything. And of course, one of the things they assailed a long time ago was the creation story. They attack all the time, and they attack the word of God and everything else. So in the world today, there's only one truth, and that is the word of God. And if you take science without God, without the Savior, Yahshua, Jesus Christ in it, is nothing but idolatry. And that's the bottom line. It becomes a tool of man. And today we use that tool. One of the tools that we do, that even in the news, is that 7-year-old boy. And see, they have the ability to make these kids, a boy is grown and he becomes a girl. or a girl becomes a boy. And some of the parents are at fault by pushing this nonsense. And even a Harvard, I think it was Harvard, specialist talked about it and said, this is absolutely beyond the pale to do things like this to children. You need to leave them alone. And so we're doing a lot of things because we can. That's lawlessness. And so the devil cast some of them into prison. We'll see the level of lawlessness. There was lawlessness back in those days, but nothing like it is today. And that you may be tried, you will have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. It says the devil shall cast some of you into prison. It doesn't say he's going to cast them all into prison there in Smyrna. And some of those, it says, cast some of you into prison that you may be died, that you may be tried, and you'll have tribulation 10 days. Now, 10 days is a figure. 10 is a whole number. We get that from the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. And we have the number 10 throughout Scripture. So it's just a number. It doesn't mean it's going to be literal 10 days. But what it does tell us is that there's a certain time that the word has to be tried. It's actually the same word that was used in Joseph. He was in prison until the word was fulfilled and was tried, had tried him. And so we do have this where we talk about being tried, and it has to go through a certain time period. And when it's done, that's fulfilled. That's the 10 days. Whether, it's not 10 literal days, but it's a period of time of fulfillment. And he says, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. And of course, within the Scripture, you know, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you. If you deny me before men, I will deny you. If you save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you will save it. That's for his sake in the gospel. So the gospel and the word of God is full of opposites here when we talk about things like that. For Christ said, love your enemies. Don't hate your enemies. You know, if your enemy comes to you and is hungry, feed him. By doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. I mean, you know, one thing ISIS has said, and also Boko Haram, among other radical Islamic groups, they love to kill Christians. And even over in, Christians that were in the Sinai, and this has to do with Egypt, and Boko Haram and other groups that were over there, and these radical Islamists were saying they loved to kill Christians because it was so fun and so easy. That's because Christians didn't shoot back. And most of them in these places don't have a gun. But as I've said before, you come to America, we have guns, we have the Second Amendment, no matter what these knuckleheaded Democratic leaders want to say about it. You know, they think all they have to do is get elected and they'll take the guns. No, that ain't going to work. It's not at the whim of a president. It has to do with the judicial part of our country. That's the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You got to change that. And so these people apparently don't know our own Constitution. Now, they think they can get in there and just sign a little thing. It'll be done. That'll go nowhere. And, you know, this is the stupidity that goes on when you have some of these people. They think it's fine. It's not fine. It's not fine to do the things you're doing either, but they do them. And so you have a lot of issues when you look at that. And of course, here, these, we're going to suffer. We're told we're going to suffer. But in the suffering, you need to be tried. Why? So even James talks about that. You know, your faith is tried, and it's like gold tried in fire. It's perfected. And this is what God is after, to perfect faith, and because he wants you in heaven with him. And so this is one of the reasons he's writing to the church in Smyrna. He wants them to know that. Some of you, not all of you, some of you will. Now, if you get over into Revelation, and I've covered all this in my Revelation series, but if you get, I think it's Revelation 6. Yeah. And I'm looking here. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar, under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Lord, how long, holy, O Lord, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? They're asking for a vengeance, which is quite okay. Because blood guilt, I teach about that, and there's a series on that that I've done. And white robes were given to every one of them. It was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while. Now, this is important. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now, this is talking about martyring. Now, what this tells us is there is a time point, and that's what this all these seals are about. This is not like it occurs all at once. This is an overview type thing. And what this shows you is that there's going to be martyrs throughout a course of time. And there's going to come a time that these who were to be killed and to be martyred would no longer be done. In other words, it would be over. So it tells us there is a limitation, that there is certain things. Even when we look in Revelation, there's certain numbers that are killed. And so it's important to understand that if the devil had his way, he would kill every person on earth that he could get away with, and if nobody could stop him, that's what he would do. Now, see, the Lord comes again, and one of the first things he does is destroy those who have destroyed the earth. There are humans that want to destroy the earth. Further in the Gospels, when we look at this, there are those that will want to destroy, want to kill. And the Lord says that unless he stops, unless he shortens the day, which is one of the words and you can find this, some of the references related to a lot of this in Matthew 24, Luke 21 and Mark 13. And so the Lord comes, he's going to shorten the days, because if he doesn't, there'd be no flesh left alive. When the armies of the East move in China, in the Far East, in Revelation, it says a third of mankind are going to be destroyed. So these are things that are written to let us know what's going to happen. Of course, there are people today in this world, Iran is one of them, who would literally unleash a barrage of nuclear warheads just to win the war. And if it killed everybody on earth except for them, they'd be fine because they're doing it for their God. It's unbelievable, but that's what these people would do. And they're not the only ones. The thing that Smyrna is, they're in the Roman Empire. They're in a pagan nation. Rome wasn't against Christianity. They had tons of religion. But when the religion started threatening Rome, then they had a problem. And see, this is where the Jews would use it, that they are serving. And that's what they even did with Christ. There's only one. And matter of fact, they were talking about it, about Caesar, that they followed Caesar, not this Messiah. And this Messiah is calling everybody to follow him. So they were using that. And the Jews were good at that, to use that kind of thing. So understand that this is the world still like that. The Jews weren't the only ones. Where do you think they got it? They got it from the devil. When Peter was talking, the Lord rebuked Peter. He's actually rebuking the devil behind Peter. And that was clear in the scripture when we read it. So the devil does do that. He does put words in your mouth. He does put thoughts in your mind. You need to rebuke these things. You need to purify them with the word of God. You need to pray. Understand that we're in spiritual warfare. And you're going to, there is a time. We are in this time period in America where things are tough. It's lawless. And around the world, we report all the time of Christians in jail, being killed, run out of their homes, their churches burned, all the time. When we were reporting 2014, 2015, and we were looking and following ISIS and the Kurds, Kobani, and all the other various areas where they went and what happened to the Yazidis. ISIS didn't care who they were killing. If you didn't agree with them, you were dead. And if you were a young woman, you were put in their sex slave market or they raped you themselves. They were pigs, these particular ISIS fighters, and they're in hell now if they're dead. Good riddance to them because of what they did to people. You know, we don't want people to die and go to hell, but if you're going to be wicked, you're going to do those things to other people, you deserve what you get, and the Lord will see that you get there. And that's the bottom line. And so a certain time period, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. You know, and this is the biggest thing. You know, even the Lord talked about hearing the word. The disciples asked him one time, why do you speak to them in parables? And he says, because it's given unto you to know the truth, but it's not given unto them. And that's why the scripture says over and over, and even in the gospels, there's that emphasis on hearing, listening. In America, people will, they're so barraged by, well, over the years, they've heard the gospel, they've had churches. You know, in the beginning of this country, people, the kids would read the Bible in class in order to learning how to read properly. Most of, if not all of our early colleges were Christian related. They're not anymore, but, you know, I mean, we've had more Bibles, more preachers, and more churches in this country than any other nation on earth. We have sent out more missionaries. We have sent out more aid, and we have been blessed for it. But when that country that did righteousness begins to do wickedly, then those things which they did in the righteous will be forgotten. Find Jeremiah. Jeremiah talks about that when he warns Israel. The bottom line of it is you have a lot of people that now have grown up several generations indoctrinated by this satanic modernization. And most of them are taught that, well, one of the things is gender. There's a lot of genders they try to teach them today. They also tell them, you know, maybe you're not a boy. Even though you were born a boy, you were born a girl with a boy's stuff, so you're going to be a girl. I mean, this is the LGBTQ stuff. Even Planned Parenthood pushes this crap. Excuse the expression, but that's what it is. And today they, you know, right now, this world, and of course, Obama made a lot of this stuff even more acceptable because he accepted it. And when you look at the whole thing, these people do not want Christianity. They do not want righteousness or holiness. If that Christianity would shut up, stop thinking that there's just one Savior, stop worrying about holiness or righteousness, accept the fact that God made us all this way and that's fine. No, that's not fine. You see, in all of these things, this is what the devil does. You know, destroy the word of God, destroy the nation where they're in, destroy traditional marriage, destroy, you know, everything righteous, destroy the churches, enter into the churches. They've already done that. The churches have been watered down. We have nothing but tares in the pulpit in many of the churches today. We have tares in the upper level of our seminaries, or cemeteries, as I call them. When I was in Bible school, one of my teachers was a dyed-in-the-wool missionary who is now teaching Bible school. And he used to teach us that when you would go in and preach in a church, or if you as a pastor, always keep your bags packed because they may kick you out. And, you know, the thing of it is that we were also told that when we talk about heretical teachings in the churches and in Bible school, you discuss heretical teachings. It begins at the highest levels in our seminaries and colleges. the heresy. And then it's funneled down through those who graduate, which become pastors and Christian leaders who teach it to their people. And so today we have a lot of that. It's been going on for centuries since the apostles. The apostle Paul said that, you know, when I depart, many grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing any. And see, this is where we're at today, especially in America. And we have people in churches following ways of lives that they think is going to be okay for with God. And it's not. We have major Christian singers who have turned to alternative lifestyles that will send them into the pit of hell. Now, see, be sure, if we talk about sodomy or homosexuality, lesbianism, in any number of sins, sexual sins, there's not just sodomy that's a sin. So is fornication, describing all of that, and also adultery. Lying and cheating and thieving is also a sin. Gossip can lead to very grievous sins. Matter of fact, that was one of the biggest things that the Apostle Paul, let your women be silent in the church, because they were gathering together gabbing, and there was problems. And so, you know, there are things, even today, that we're doing. And the letters to the churches tell the churches in America and around the world that you need to wake up, that you need to examine yourself, you need to bring yourself in line with the Word of God. Don't be fooled by a lot of these modernizations of Scripture and the things that they're trying to do. You need to get into the Word of God, get into the way the apostles taught it, and you need to get into the truth and stay there. Because that's the problem we have today. No, it is not okay to live that way. Even Paul said, those that do those things shall never enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And what part of abominable don't you understand? See, and this is where we're at in the world today. Now, see, in America, we have one sin. You get over in some of the other nations, there's other things they're doing that are sins. So it doesn't mean everybody's doing the same thing. There's plenty of various sins to go around here. But Christ died for all people. No one has to perish. All God do is call you to repent, believe in His Son, and follow Him. That's it. But there's a power in that. He gives us the power to become the sons of God. He gives us His Spirit. The temple of God is within us. It's not in the bricks and stones. It's in us. And then when two or three or more of us are gathered and we happen to be in a place, God is there and His glory and His presence will fall. He says, there am I in the midst of them. What makes the churches a church? It is the people who believe and the Spirit of God is in them and they meet in His name and God blesses that meeting. It has nothing to do with your bricks and stones. It's the fact that you're all gathered together because the kingdom of God is within you and you happen to be meeting inside of the church. We are the ecclesia, the called out one. You know, when people, you know, when Satan is persecuting the church, is he throwing the bricks and stones into the church, into jail? No. Who's he throwing? Humans, people, Christians. Why is he doing that? Because they're the ones that has the temple of God in them. They're the ones that's the threat, not the one with the building. In China, they're so out of it, they think if they destroy that big building, that's going to destroy their faith. That's a bunch of hogwash. You want to destroy the buildings? Go ahead. The Chinese that are crying over the buildings, get over it. That's a building, for crying out loud. Understand, the devil will go around and destroy all your churches. He'll try to take all your Bibles. Let him take them if he wants to. Don't you think God is able to give you another Bible? Don't you think God is able to empower you and be in you and keep you to where you know Him?
Are we that fallen away from the truth that we don't understand what truth is anymore? Oh, God, he's destroying all the churches. Let him destroy them. I don't like to see him do it, but the bottom line of it is that is not where God is. God is in his people who meet in that place. And I cover this all the time. Tower and I cover this all the time. We know. First-hand reports, and you need to know too. You need to be praying for these persecuted brethren, because one of these days it might be you, and you're going to be mighty glad someone somewhere is praying for you and is giving money to some organization so they can get help to you. And that's what you need to be doing for your brethren, because there are major ministries whose people are on the ground bringing help to those that are persecuted, and they do so at the peril of their own life. And some of them are in prison for it right now in China. So, my friends, John's letter to the suffering church in Smyrna, persecuted believers and what I call the anointing of martyrship. That's what this is. God gave me that phrase a long time ago. You say, well, I don't think I could go through it. You're right. You can't. Not on your own. There is an anointing of martyrship that when it begins, God anoints you to be able to go through this. He helps you. I call that the anointing of martyrship. And if you are martyred for his name, you join a vast company of individuals who gave their life for the Lord. Father, we thank you for your mercy today and for this message, for your goodness. Bless those now who listen to this. Help them to find their place in you, to know you, to know your Son, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, to walk in him in this evil day that we live in. Fill him with joy, fill him with love, fill him with your blessing, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, that is Revelation 2, 8 through 17. And I do it. I go through this, and I'm not looking to jump through this stuff and just go down the road. We want to cover this, and we want to make sure we get it done and bring it to you, because the goal is to help you be prepared, to be encouraged. That's what we do. These are perilous times. The children are at risk, my friends. And many young adults are too. There's been several generations that have grown up that have not known the Lord. And the only introduction they have had is these easy peasy, cheesy churches. I call them the Sugar Plum Church and the Fairy Tale Jesus. So with that, we're going to do this and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Yes, don't forget to go by our websites. I'll say those again. Warn-USA.com and DanaGlennSmith.com. One word. Of course, on Warn-USA or on the other one, they link to the other. Be sure to check us out. I might encourage you here to check out USA.life and look for Warn Radio. We are on USA.life. It's a Facebook, Twitter alternative. That's what they classify it as. It's a new startup. We've been waiting for this guy for a long time. He finally got it put together. The other one is MeWe. So be sure to check these things out. This is the Watchman in for Tower. God bless everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.